And good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And tonight I have a very interesting author with a great book called Emotional Wisdom, Daily Tools for Transforming Anger, Depression, and Fear. And I have Dina Saxer on the line, and she co-wrote the book with Montauk Chia. And I've read quite a few of Montauk's books. Most of them are on the multi-orgasmic man, multi-orgasmic woman and couple. So I've done a lot of work on that area, and I'm pleased to see that he and Dina have worked together on, you know, bringing together a book that really speaks to me about how we need to address and look at the emotional wisdom of our body and how our emotions need to be worked on. So welcome, Dina.
Thank you, Lori. I'm delighted to be here.
Mm-hmm. So why don't you tell us a little bit, I know the book goes into a little bit, but why don't you tell us a little bit about your journey and how maybe you met up with Montauk and maybe, you know, where you came to this great depth, because you are, you know, very, very evolved. I can tell by just reading the book, and I can tell by, you know, our earlier quick conversation. So tell us a little bit about how you got to where you are.
Well, thank you for that compliment. About 27 years ago, I was in a lot of pain with a spontaneous fracture in my back. Mm. And I was also very tired from the pain and the back and not being able to really move forward in my life to do all the things I wanted to do. And then I literally stumbled into a class, not with Montauk Chia, but with two of his senior instructors. And because it was in Toronto where I was living at the time. And that class was the Six Healing Sounds. I walked into it with a back support because that's the only way I could sit for a few hours. And that class changed my life. I felt so wonderful. I said, I don't know what this is. It's easy to do, and it feels wonderful, and I'm going to pursue this. And that basically is what happened. I took the next course, and then I went to retreat with Montauk Chia and those same teachers and other teachers. And I improved my bones because I had had osteoporosis. And now, although the medical profession says I still have it because they compare me to a 21-year-old, I've never again broken a bone, even though I've fallen very hard a couple times. I've never broken any bones, and I'm in the normal range for my age. But as I was healing my bones, I healed everything else. My emotions. All of a sudden, I was able to... I always felt my emotions pretty strongly, and I am a former actor, so I was dealing with emotion a lot, but I wasn't dealing with them very, very well. I wasn't being able to transcend some of them. I was stuck in some of them. So I began to be able to heal my emotions on a daily basis. My physical health improved in all ways you can think of. My mental clarity improved. My sexuality, which was pretty good, got even better. Everything improved. Mm-hmm. So I said, I am going to learn this very deeply, and I am going to teach it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've done. When I was living in Toronto, I started a Healing Tao Center there. And I brought Montauk Chia, and I brought other teachers, and I trained to be a teacher, and I went to yearly retreats with him, and so on. And he invited me, because I was a writer, I was a playwright, he invited me to write two books with him then, and I did, and that was a wonderful experience. And then in 2009, last year, our third book came out, which is the book that you just read.
Mm-hmm. That's a great story. I keep forgetting that you actually lived in Toronto for a while. So there's another thing that we have in common.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you didn't catch that when you called the number that's 416? You must have forgotten.
Oh, and I love Toronto.
Yeah, so do I. I live in the beach. It's a great area. Yeah. Okay, so part of your book talks about how, you know, society is really emotionally disabled. And, you know, obviously with this present economic recession, you know, there's a lot of mental disorders that are coming out. But talk about, you know, your knowledge and wisdom on the fact that, you know, we're really emotionally disabled.
Well, as children, that's generally where it starts. Mm-hmm. We're taught that some emotions are not nice and not good. So those would be the painful emotions. Anger, for sure, especially for girls and mm-hmm. women. Fear, worry, sadness. We're not supposed to have those because they're not nice and they're not good, and there's something shameful about feeling those emotions. But, of course, that's untrue.
Mm-hmm.
What I discovered and what we say in the book is that emotions are messages from our soul. They're extremely valuable messages. What they're saying is, hello, you're out of balance. Something's the matter. Pay attention. You have to do something here. That's why they're painful. Mm-hmm. Like, physical pain is a wonderful thing. Not that we like it, but it's a wonderful thing because it tells us we've got to pay attention to some physical problem. Something is the matter. We have to tend to it, whether we have to do it ourselves or we have to go to a practitioner, a Western doctor, an Eastern doctor, whatever. We have to investigate it and take care of it. Well, that's true of our emotions. When we're sad, we're not supposed to be sad. And not in the sense of a moral sense, but we're meant to be happy. We're meant to be blissful. We're meant to be joyful. And when we're sad, there's a good reason. So pay attention to it. Find the reason and work on it. And the tools that we have in our book, and they are tools, they're practical tools. It's a toolkit. Those will help us to transform that energy because emotions, all emotions, painful or joyful, are energies. You can take the painful energy of sadness, and there's so much sadness now because mm-hmm. of the economic situation and all of the challenges. You can take that sadness energy and transform it into a very positive, courageous energy. Something that lets you let go of what you don't need anymore and move forward in your life. And it's not something terribly complex. In 20 to 30 minutes a day, you could do these practices and have the same experience I did, which is, oh, my God, I can't believe all this wonderful joy and power and health that I am able to create myself.
Right. And a lot of it is because of the Taoist approach and Qigong.
Can you talk a little bit louder, Laurie?
Sure. And a lot of it is because of the Taoist approach and the Qigong, because Qigong is really about building up your energy. So it allows you to access energy that you may not have had, that you may not have all the time in your body. I mean, it's a way, you know, there are a lot of different tools out there. I believe that yoga is very good for you because it allows your body to be very flexible so that the energy can move, but it doesn't necessarily build energy. Where Qigong is really about, you know, building the energy. And I thought it was interesting, and we'll get into that, but, you know, how the different areas that we build energy on or that we draw the energy from. And I thought that was really unique. But I mean, I know a little bit about Taoism, but I don't know, that's not an area that I've studied intensively. So I thought it was a really interesting area to look at. And I know that Qigong is an area that builds your energy and allows you to develop from there.
That's a very clear and succinct way of saying it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to define Qigong, because for a lot of people, they don't know what that is.
Yeah.
And even people who do it don't have a clear way to define it. Building energy, that's excellent. Well, generally I say chi is energy. Chi is life force energy. And kung means skill, a skill that develops and deepens over time. So qigong means, internal energy skills, and that's what it's all about. So qigong builds your internal energy skills as you do it, and it gets better and it gets better. And like with me, the more I did it, the more I came into my intuitive skills, which you have so beautifully, through doing this work, and it wasn't my intention. My intention was to feel better. Okay, I don't want any more back pain, and I don't want to be sad, and I don't want to feel frustrated because I can't do what I want to do. So I did the work, and then along the way, oh my goodness, all of a sudden I began to have those skills of understanding more of being clairaudient and being clairsentient and so on. So those were bonuses I never counted on.
That's great. But I do believe that, you know, one of the biggest problems with our society is that, as you've already mentioned, that these negative emotions, we're not taught how to deal with them. We're taught how to hide, deny, and repress them. And so we're taught not to feel them. And by not feeling the negative ones, of course, allows you not to feel the positive ones as well, because we're not in our body. And I know there's a lot of spirituality out there and a lot of spiritual teachers out there that believe, or that really come from a place that's not so much within their body, but above their body, you know, from their heart, not even sometimes in their heart. Sometimes it's, you know, from their third eye or above, that they're not grounded. They're not in their body. And so, you know, they're not aware. So detaching from their emotions is really easy because they're not even in their body to even be aware of what's going on.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because this is my current crusade to help people with grounding. Because here are all these wonderful people doing beautiful spiritual work, communing with God or Tao or whatever you call the source, and heart-centered and, you know, doing wonderful things, but then they're having accidents, mm-hmm. or they're having severe physical problems, or they're forgetting to pay their mortgage or their bills or whatever. It is a tremendous problem with people who are doing spiritual work. If you are not in touch with your painful emotions and you are not transforming them, then you are out of balance. Yeah. And a major part of Taoism and Qigong is a group of practices in the Taoist system and the Taoist philosophy, is balance. You must be balanced. If you are not balanced in dealing with your emotions, you're not grounded. And that's when you have accidents and you are more prone to diseases and forgetting things frequently. Not that we don't all forget sometimes, but, mm-hmm. you know, continually forgetting important things. And the Tao system balances earth energy, and that's grounding. Earth energy is grounding. It balances the physical body with the spiritual body. So I know a lot of people, as you describe, who are beautiful, wonderful spiritual light workers, but having a lot of problem on the earth level, on the practical plane, because they are not paying attention to the emotions. They're denying them, repressing them, forgetting them, thinking that they're not as important, that they're lesser, they're not as good. Mm-hmm. But they aren't. They're wonderful. Mm-hmm. They're our best lessons.
You know, if we could see everything as a gift, no matter what it looks like, you know, that would be the ideal. But of course, again, we were taught that these emotions weren't ideal, that these emotions we weren't supposed to express if we were to be good girls or good boys. But I also like when you talk about the differences between Western medicine and, you know, traditional Chinese medicine. Did you want to talk about that? Because I like that.
That's a vast subject. So
well, it is.
How about Kumian and what?
Well, just the fact that, you know, most Western medicine, you know, they look at the cause of disease in bacteria or viruses, and TCM, you know, it's the internal cause of disease is more about emotional disharmony.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Traditional Chinese medicine says, and traditional Chinese medicine came out of Qigong. First, it started with the Taoist practitioners, men and women, observing the stars, the planets, the animals, the plants themselves in particular, and coming up with these practical practices that relate to nature. Out of that came traditional Chinese medicine. So it all comes together. So in traditional Chinese medicine, painful emotions are the number one cause of disease. Now, that's pretty amazing.
It is.
Now, there are other causes, true. Accidents could be one, but that accidents can be also related to emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Environmental problems certainly can be a cause of disease. But if you want to trace that back, how about, you know, those people who are helping to make environmental toxins,
mm-hmm.
or those institutions, you know, it can all go back to emotions. So, you know, the traditional Chinese medical doctor will not just examine you and say, oh, well, there's something the matter with your ear. No. He or she will say, well, tell me about your life, and are you unhappy, or are you worried or angry, or, you know, they'll look at the whole picture. And not only that, but the ear is not just the ear functioning by itself. The ear is dominated by the kidneys and relates to the bladder and then relates to all the other internal organ systems. It all works together as a whole. So if you, as I did once, got an infection in one finger, my entire body felt awful. It all works together. So one earache is a symptom that relates to a lot of things in your body. It's a holistic approach, and it's one that always takes into account the emotions.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was also very interesting when they said, you know, with traditional Chinese medical doctors, that typically they weren't there to help you when you were sick. They're there to be there before you get sick. They're there as like a monthly visit to make sure you don't get sick, and they don't actually get paid when you are sick, or at least that's what it was traditionally, which I thought, you know, that's what we need here. We keep doing the scapegoat. We keep looking for the Band-Aid to fix instead of worrying, working on the more basic causes and the underlying things. So I think it's, you know, it's just a completely different system.
I think it's wonderful, too, what they used to do.
Yeah.
They'd visit the family, you know, and they'd get a monthly fee. And if everybody was well, then they got paid. And they didn't get paid if they weren't well. It was their job to make sure that people were doing the things they needed to do to stay well. Mm-hmm. And we know what they are. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows. We know that if you eat well and you exercise and you have a positive attitude and you develop those gifts that you have and that you help other people, we know that those things work.
Yeah.
Why do we get into the, you know, the downside of it? That's a very good question. Why?
Mm-hmm. And I also thought it was interesting because there are a lot of people that have been talking about the blood's pH balance, the alkaline versus acidity, and the TCM approach is that, you know, these painful negative emotions are disturbing that pH balance.
Yes, they make your blood more acidic. And since the blood is really what nourishes and cleans us, if you think about that, every cell in the body is fed with nutrients through the blood and cleaned of its waste or toxins through the blood circulating. And if you stay in any one or a multitude of negative emotions, you make that blood more acidic, which makes it more stagnant. Now, doesn't that make sense, that if something isn't moving well, if it's blocked and it's slow, that it's not going to clean and nourish as well?
Mm-hmm. But we don't think about that.
No, we don't.
You know,
in TCM, in traditional Chinese medicine, and in Qigong, we always say blood follows qi. Mm. That means if your energy is flowing freely and strongly, which is the way it's supposed to be, which is the way it is in healthy babies and healthy children, your blood is flowing freely and strongly. Just look and see how much energy children have. Well, the blood is flowing freely and strongly because it follows the qi.
Yeah.
So that's why if we as adults have the tools that are in our book to move the qi freely and strongly through our whole body, then we will have, our blood will move freely and strongly, and everything is going to improve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's interesting because a lot of us focus on our diet when we're looking at the pH balance. So now, you know, this just brings in an extra area for us to think about when we're, you know, when we're trying to balance ourselves out.
Yes, as we say in the book, there are specific foods that alleviate specific painful emotions.
Yeah.
So, for instance, let's take depression, which is so rampant now. Sadness. If you eat some spicy food, now again, we're talking in terms of moderation. You don't want to eat a huge amount of spicy food, and if you're culture that you grew up in has more spicy food in it than there are some other culture, then you will eat more than some other people. But in general, eat some spicy food, and that will help with depression. Eat some white foods. The colors are very important in diet. The colors carry nutrients as well. Certain colors are antioxidants. So eat white food. And also eat all the colors and all the tastes. Because, again, your body is working as a whole. Your body isn't just one piece. So for each set of emotions, we have some dietary guidelines according to colors and according to taste. And that's traditional Chinese medicine coming out of Qigong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really important. And I think it's, you know, we don't often eat a variety of foods. So when you bring it out in the way that it's talked about in the book, how, you know, what colors are important for, you know, what you're going through, what colors are important for the different times of year. And, you know, the sounds that you make, which I would like to hear, we'll do that near the end, but just so we can get an idea of what it is that we're doing, if in case.
Okay, and, you know, if it works for you, I can actually teach one sound over the air.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay.
I want to say something more about color.
Yeah.
It's also colors that you wear.
Yes.
The colors that you wear have quite an effect on you. You may not be aware of it, but the more you do it, the more you become aware of it. So, are you sad and depressed? Wear white. And never mind that it's winter in Toronto or, you know, Quebec or anywhere. It's cold, but wear white. White will help to lift your spirits from depression and sadness. Are you afraid of something? Are you fearful? Wear blue. Blue will help your kidneys and help with that fear. Also, what the colors around you, you know, paint your walls a color that will help you with your emotions. Colors is a vibration,
yeah.
And it's very powerful.
Yeah. And, of course, the Tao colors don't have to do with the chakras because it's a different system, but, you know, they all sort of get intertwined in there, but they're different.
They are somewhat different, but there are a lot of similarities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you want to mention a little bit about Tao? Because it is talked about quite a bit in the book so that people kind of understand that Tao is really source when it comes to Taoism. I mean, it's really what we would call source.
Okay, I'd love to talk about that.
Yeah.
The word Tao, T-A-O, although it's spelled with a T, we pronounce it as if it's a D. Tao, in its broadest sense, is the same meaning as God or the source of all that is. And therefore, it's not a religion. It embraces all religions or no religion. There is a source, and I think most people would agree. There is some source, some organizing force in our universe, and that's called Tao. And Tao is also a philosophy of life. It's a philosophy of life. That would be more like Taoism. Taoism is a philosophy of life that relates to nature, to the rhythms and patterns in nature, on the earth, in the heavens, in the universe. So the closer we can get to natural rhythms that are reflected in our bodies, closer we can get to the rhythms in the seasons, the stronger and healthier and happier we will be.
Right. And the three forces of external energy?
Okay. In Qigong is Taoist practice, okay?
Okay.
So it's based on the Taoist philosophy, and it's internal energy skills that will fit into that philosophy. There are internal forces of energy, and I can talk about that in a bit if you want.
Sure.
And there are external forces of energy, those outside of our bodies. And there are three categories: the universal or heavenly energies, which includes unconditional love; the cosmic or higher force energies, higher self energies. Oh, let me go back to the first ones. The first ones include the energies of stars and planets. The heavenly and universal energies include the stars and planet energies. And the cosmic energy force includes the dust of the stars and planets, and that's what we are made of. We human beings. And the third force is earth force, and that's animals and plants and formations such as mountains and rivers and rocks. We are continually getting energy from these sources, but when we are not balanced in our bodies or our emotions or our souls, we get a limited amount. When we balance ourselves, and the practices that we have in our book will help you to balance yourself, we get more heavenly energy, more cosmic energy, and more earth energy. That's why the Taoist practitioners for thousands of years have been known for longevity, living very long, extraordinarily healthy, vigorous, creative, joyful lives. So even today, Taoists, practitioners of Qigong, live longer and have creative and healthy and joyful lives compared to the general population, compared to most people.
Yeah. And the internal is really what the main focus of the book is it not, on the organs and the three paths? Would that be the internal chi?
Can you say that a little louder? I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. The internal would be more what the meat of the book is about, which is the organs and the three paths and how the energy moves within our bodies. Is that correct?
Yes. But that's not always apparent to everybody.
Right.
But, you know, if somebody gets anything from the book, that's wonderful. Okay? I don't really care. I mean, I would love for everybody who reads this book to get all of it, you know, to help them internally, externally, any which way. But if you just get a little piece of something that's a truth and that works for you, that's fantastic. But yes, there's more depth to it than is obvious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, of course, Tao talks about the yin and yang, and I think everybody's heard of yin and yang, but, you know, sometimes we don't really understand it as well as Taoism because it kind of came from there. So maybe talk about the dualistic nature of the yin yang.
Okay. Everything that happens in the whole universe happens because of the dynamic interaction between yin and yang. Yin is the feminine, internal, nourishing, planning, thinking aspect of life or of anything. And yang is the external, going forth into the world, action, manifesting, meeting with others, forceful. Yin is soft, gentle. Yang is forceful. So nothing happens, no life happens, no interaction happens without both of those working together. And they're continually moving and changing into each other. So if you become too yin, all you do is stay at home and you think and you plan and you take care of yourself and you hardly ever go out into the world, you're not going to manifest those things that you're planning. You're not going to see those come to fruition. And it's eventually going to harm you physically and emotionally and so on. Or if you're too young and you're always out there in the world and you're always interacting and always trying to make things happen and you're very forceful, after a while you're going to get completely exhausted and become extremely yin and have to just stay home and rest or be in the hospital. So it's the daily balancing act. Every day we have to balance ourselves. Like, okay, if you have a really demanding day, it's very wise the next day to take it easy as much as possible. And maybe you still have to go to work somewhere, but you can arrange it so it isn't the most demanding. Maybe you need 2 days to do that. Maybe not. I don't know. But you always, every day, have to balance how much you can do in the outer world and how much you can do in the inner world. And if you don't do that, then you get your problems. Then you get physical problems and you get emotional problems and you get problems with relationships and so on. So always be aware of how do you feel. Your body will tell you whether you're out of balance. Your body will say, oh, my God, I'm so tired. Well, what did you do when you're tired? Rest, for heaven's sake. Rest. Or your body will go, oh, I'm feeling kind of sluggish here. I need to move. Okay, I've got to exercise. You know, exercise, physical exercise, that's pretty yang, usually, although Tai Chi is more yin than running. Everything is relative anyway. You know, so you have to keep balancing what you need, what your unique self, your unique and wonderful self, made of the cosmic energy from stars and planets. Your angel self needs, can tell you what it needs. Follow it, listen to it, and if you can't hear it yet, keep asking. I want to know what I need. I want my body to tell me what I need. And it will. Once you trust that and once you ask for it, it will eventually help you.
Right. You talk in the chapter Spirit of Tao in Action. There are a few things that I'd like to talk about because, you know, we know a lot about, you know, the nonviolence and the kindness and compassion. But you also talk about one, I think, that's really important, which is forgiveness. And often we're looking at the victimization of society and how we all feel that we are victim. And then the other one that I want to talk about is detachment and humor.
Okay, forgiveness is essential. I mean, I read in your bio, you know, some of your very difficult circumstances in your early life. We have to forgive whatever it is that harmed us. But we don't forgive it in terms of, well, totally forget it. Right. Never, ever think about it again, and that's it. It's all over. We have to look at it as a learning and as a step. And maybe you had to go through that because maybe you made a contract before you came into this life that you would experience being abandoned and that you would be able to move forward away from that and be able to learn how to forgive and then come into all of these gifts that you have to help those people who are a little bit stuck in abandonment or victimization. So every experience, and you've kind of said, you know, it's what is. That's what it is. That's what happened. So we deal with it. Deal with it the best you can. Forgive those who are what you might say the perpetrators or the partners in this lesson, because they're actually helping you, but also maybe they're not conscious that they're hurting you. They're probably not. So your forgiveness will help them as well as yourself, certainly. You don't have to forget it. You don't have to recreate it because you've passed beyond it. Forgiveness is essential in every situation where you feel that you have been hurt. That doesn't mean you don't say anything. Perhaps you tell the people or the people. Mm-hmm. You tell the people what they did that was wrong, that was harmful. But you don't tell it in a way that hurts them, truly hurts them. The truth won't hurt. And you don't forget the lesson.
Right.
So, let's see, what was the other one? I already forgot what you said. What's the next thing?
Detachment. The part of detachment.
Detachment,
yeah.
Okay. Detachment does not mean detaching from our bodies, because you and I discussed this before the program, that so many people are really detached from their bodies, and that's a very unhealthy and sad form of estrangement from your best friend. Mm-hmm. Your body is your best friend. Your body has its wisdom, and it will tell you what it needs. And your body is more than your physical body. Your physical body will tell you things beyond the physical. So get in touch with your body the best you can. And if it means one tiny baby step at a time, then celebrate each baby step. Every new understanding from your body is a building block to really understanding it more and more. But detachment in the sense of step back from whatever it is that is aggravating you. Step back from it and pretend it's somebody else. And see if you can figure out why it's happening, what the other person or persons, what their motivations are. kind of look at it as if you were another person, your own therapist, looking and saying, well, I think this is happening because maybe I'm inviting it, or maybe I'm not standing up to this person, or maybe I need to experience this, but now I've had enough and I'm leaving. Let's see, and humor is a great form of attachment. You know, I grew up in a rather humorless family. Very good people, lovely people, but not much humor. And so when I discovered humor, I loved it, and I love it now. And I actually, as a writer, worked to become funnier. And as a teacher, worked to become funnier. And so now I think I have a pretty good sense of humor, and it's natural. It wasn't always natural when I was trying, you know, to learn it. But humor is stepping away. When I was an actor, I couldn't do comedy. I was really good at tragedy. But I couldn't do comedy. So I asked a comic actor how he did it. And he said, you need a little bit of attachment. Step back from the part. So step away from your feeling that needs some humor and see if you can find the humor in it. You know, sometimes it's really funny if you look at it from an outside viewpoint. And that will help you to transform it also.
Yeah,
humor is so healing. One of the things that's in the book is laughing. It's in the warm-up. You laugh like yourself, and then you laugh out loud, and then you laugh like a chicken, and then you laugh like a dog. Now, I do that with all my classes, and they love it. And even my neighbors love it. They hear it, and they like it. Because in Qigong and in traditional Chinese medicine, we are told that laughter helps the immune system, specifically the liver and the lymphatic system and the thymus gland. Mm-hmm. So laughter actually is healing. So if you can laugh at yourself, what you're going through, even for 1 minute, just stand back and say, oh, this is ridiculous, then you're going to be able to heal yourself better.
Right. Yeah. Now, we go through, I guess, 5 different emotions, although there's a couple that go with them. And each emotion has an element, and each emotion is connected with an organ within our body. And I, you know, again, they also have colors and foods associated with them. And there's always a message from our soul that is coming out that's needing to be said, which is why these are here. And I think it's a really interesting way of looking at our emotions, because I don't think people think that our emotions are this message from our soul. And I think by the more you bring this out, and the more you talk about it, and the more you see how it's associated with the body, and the more you see how it's associated with everything in bringing balance into your life. I mean, I think that allows people to, you know, to step back and really look and examine, you know, what's happening in their life.
Yes. What comes to me is that emotions, all emotions, the positive and the painful, are raw material for life. And if you think about the arts, what does an artist work with? What does a visual artist work with? What does a musician work with? Mm. What does an actor work with? A sculptor? They're working with emotions. That's what they're building on. The emotion drives them to create this work of art that they share with the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
So if we look at our emotions as treasures, they're helping us and also affirming us. The positive emotions are saying, "Oh, Laura, you're doing great. This is wonderful." That's why you feel so happy and so calm. And this is great. Keep going, girl. This is terrific. That's what the positive emotions are doing. And that's what they're supposed to do. They're affirming that you're on the right path with what you're doing. The painful emotions are saying, stop. Take a look. Something's the matter. Pay attention. Don't gloss over it. Come on. Let's get through with it. And here are the tools in the book. Mm-hmm. Those tools will help us. And how do I know? Because I've been doing it for almost 27 years, and I've taught thousands of people, and no one has ever called me up and said, "You know, this stuff doesn't work, Dana." No one has ever done that. What they do is they call me up and they say, "Oh, my God, this is so wonderful. I just was able to end a relationship without terrible pain. And it's now we have a decent relationship in a different way. Or, oh, my God, I got through the stress of this terrible tragedy." They're continually telling me how wonderful those things are, and I'm not surprised. I go, yeah, that's right, that's right.
Although there is an area where they do say, you know, mania, which, you know, the manic depressive, the person who has too much of something too quickly, can also bring an unbalance into the body.
I'm glad you brought that up. Yes. Mania, overexcitement, which could happen when something wonderful happens. You can get so excited that you can totally throw your body off and your emotions off. And, you know, I have read that some people, when something extraordinarily wonderful happened to them, that they died. And certainly some people win the lottery and they lose it. They all of a sudden go crazy with their spending and they basically lose the money. So, again, every day you have to monitor yourself and see, am I too excited? You know, it was so exciting for me when the book came out in October and Montauk Chia came here and we spent 2 days together promoting the book, doing media, and also we did 2 book signing events at bookstores, and a lot of people came to those. And it was very busy. You know, almost every minute was planned and taken care of. So, and I told myself ahead of time, okay, now you've got to rest up for days. You've got to be rested a few days ahead of time and a few days afterwards, because this is going to be extreme excitement. And it was. It was wonderful. It was marvelous to be with him and to go through these things with him. But it was also a lot of energy. So I was proud of myself that I was rested and I was ready for it to happen. And I rested afterwards and it was fine. And I was up to it.
Right.
I'm not a young person. Okay? I'm a grandmother. I have 7 grandchildren.
Wow.
But I did it, and I did well.
Good. The other thing I want to touch briefly before we go to the healing sounds and the inner smile is, you know, the last one that talks about shame and guilt, because I really think that this is, and you also say, you know, I think it's a really serious problem. And, you know, a lot of people, again, I think it's one of those ones that people don't really identify with because we're not even allowed to understand what shame and guilt are all about.
Shame and guilt are, generally speaking, not useful. Some guilt could be useful. You know, none of us is perfect. And, you know, even I've done all this work on myself for so many years, and you for so many years. You know, I'll do something that really wasn't the best. Maybe I hurt somebody's feelings unintentionally. Or, you know, something. I did something, but my body and my soul always tell me. I go, I shouldn't have done that. No, I don't. No, that wasn't the best. So, in that case, tell that person you're sorry.
Right.
Call that person up. Say, look, if I hurt your feelings, I didn't intend to do that. That was not right of me. I'm really sorry. You know how much I care for you. Please forgive me. So if you do something that isn't quite right and hurt somebody else or hurt yourself, you know, forgive yourself and ask the person for forgiveness. But a lot of the things that people are feeling shamed and guilty about are not things to be feeling those feelings about. It's come from the outside, from parents, from society.
Mm.
And we're not meant to stay in that pit of unhappiness that shame and guilt call forth.
Mm-hmm.
We have to move forward, even if someone did something terrible. If a person can move beyond it and try to make the best amends possible, that's what needs to be done.
Right.
We're works in progress. None of us is perfect. We're all working to get better
mm-hmm.
every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every minute of every day. We're evolving. So if a person did something really awful, they shouldn't have to suffer the rest of their life because of it. If they can make amends, great. If not, just say to Tao, to God, to Source, that you are truly, truly sorry, and prove it, and make a new, different way of living. Because shame and guilt are festering sores that will poison us, will poison our life. They're not healthy. They're not useful except to move beyond.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's look at these tools that you've brought forth. And one of them's called the healing sounds, or the six healing sounds, is it? Let's talk about them a little bit.
Since the healing sounds were my first exposure to Qigong, I'm especially fond of them. I just absolutely love them. They're extremely simple and extremely powerful. And one of the reasons they're powerful is that they use a number of different modalities altogether in a really simple way. So it's using sound, visualized color, arm movements, which we can't really do on the radio, but that's okay. You can do it without it, and if you get the book, you can do it with it. And intentional smiling. Now, any one of those by itself is powerful, but you put all those together, and then it's even more powerful. So if you'd like, I will teach one of those sounds.
Please. Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to pick sadness or depression. And the sound that will help to transform it is S, like a snake makes. I'm going to make the sound a little louder than usual. And I'm going to guide the whole thing, so we're not ready to do the whole thing yet.
Mm-hmm.
We'll skip the arm movement. We will be visualizing a beautiful white light coming into our lungs. And if you're not sure where your lungs are, just breathe. Take a deep breath and put your hands on your upper chest, on your chest, and you'll feel where your lungs are because they're going to expand. Everybody, inhale through your nose. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale through your nose. Okay, that's where your lungs are. And so we've got a color white light. We've got the sound S. And intentional smiling means We're going to smile to our lungs and really appreciate them. The lungs are fantastic. They bring in air, and out of that air, they exhale carbon dioxide. So we get our oxygen that we need for every cell of our body, yes, our soul too. For every cell of our body, we need oxygen, and we do get that when we breathe in. And when we exhale, we let go of the carbon dioxide, which is a waste. Okay, so now we're going to do it together. And sit in your chair with your feet on the floor, everybody. And sit up straight, but not rigidly. Close your eyes and put your hands on your chest. Let's get in touch with our lungs. See if you can feel any sadness in your lungs, any depression, any need to hang on to something. And if you can feel that sadness, ask for the reason. And it may not come immediately, that's okay. It may come later. Tomorrow or next week, it doesn't matter. Just let your lungs know you want to know what this sadness is about. And now open your eyes and inhale deeply through your nose. You'll hear me. And look up at the ceiling, eyes open, and exhale slowly, softly, and evenly. On the sound S. And as you're making that sound, sadness is leaving from your lungs out and into the ground to be transformed by Mother Earth. Now, close your eyes. Put your head back where it belongs. Put your hands on your lungs and smile to your lungs. Inwardly and outwardly, smile to your marvelous lungs. And as you breathe, breathe in a beautiful white light with every breath. Last one. Open your eyes. We're going to do one more. Inhale deeply through your nose. Look up at the ceiling and exhale slowly on S. Sadness is leaving out your mouth and into the ground to be transformed. Close your eyes. Put your head back. Put your hands on your lungs and smile to them. Smile and appreciate your wonderful lungs. And as you breathe, breathe in a beautiful white light. This is the white light of courage. Right action and letting go. And now notice that your lungs have released sadness and depression and increased courage and letting go. And they also feel softer, moister, and larger. For you have transformed sadness into courage.
Yeah, it's a really powerful experience. And I have gone through all of them. And I did find that they were, you know, I want to try and do it on a daily basis now to see how that, you know, how that shifts things. But, you know, I can imagine that it was very powerful. And just doing this exercise with you, you know, allows for one to experience that for themselves. And then the one of the last things that you talk about is the inner smile. And we don't have a lot of time. In fact, we've gone over a bit, but you know, I think the inner smile, which you've already talked about because you do it with each of the healing sounds, but it is really something that allows us to, I guess, boost our self-esteem and raise our energy, because a smile, even if it's done, as you say, mechanically, it still produces something within the body.
Yes, just the mechanical motion of smiling without any intention or any feeling raises one's energy. It's amazing. But of course, if you do it with intention, if you see, as we do in the inner smile, if you see in your imagination something that does make you smile, the face of someone you love, or a beautiful place in nature, or a very joyful occasion, if you actually see it and feel it in your eyes, that's an energy, an internal energy. And then you direct that energy, that smiling energy, to the various organs and the spine and the brain in a certain sequence. And my goodness, what happens is that you feel better. You feel more radiant. You feel happier. And you actually look better. Now, talk about a beauty treatment. This work makes you better looking. It really does. I'm not kidding. And here we are in L.A. where, you know, looks are really, I mean, it's wonderful to look better. You know, it's overemphasized here, but it is wonderful to look better. Mm-hmm. So I always tell my classes, well, look at each other. Everybody looks very nice. And then at the end of the class, I say, doesn't everybody look more handsome and more beautiful? Mm-hmm. And they do, really, because when you're radiant, when you've got that inner love that's developed from the inner smile and from six healing sounds, it's amazing. You look better. You feel better. You look better. You act better.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, this is a really great book because it offers, you know, some easy tools to assist you to transform, you know, some of your negative emotions into much more positive emotions and to actually allow you to heal them. Not necessarily by, you know, going into them and, you know, going into therapy for years, but to, you know, use some of these exercises to, you know, transform some of the things that you may already be aware of but have been holding on to. And, you know, at the back of the book, there's even a Taoist natural first aid, which, you know, helps you to if you have something that is concerning you physically, to look at how you can alleviate that. So, you know, the book is full of great tools, and I want to thank you, Dana, for coming here onto the show and telling us about this great book and offering your wisdom to my listeners.
It's been a great pleasure, but I need to repeat the name of the book and my website, if
Absolutely.
That's all right with you.
Yeah.
Emotional Wisdom: Daily Tools for Transforming Anger, Depression, and Fear. You can get it anywhere and online. by Montauk Chia and Dina Saxer, that's me, and my website is www.universaltaola.com. Universaltaola.com. It's been a great pleasure, and I would love to hear the results that you get from doing the Six Healing Sounds and Inner Smile, if that's something you'd like to tell me at some later date.
Great, I will. Absolutely.
Wonderful. Have a gorgeous day.
You too.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.